Well, good morning. So glad y'all are worshiping with us this morning. If you saw me in the hallways and didn't know I was preaching and saw the jacket, that's a good telltale sign that something's going on. I promise it's not an extra special Sunday. Matt just gave me the opportunity to preach, and I took advantage of it. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity. I'm very thankful that he gave me this opportunity. And on this normal Sunday, we're going to be in our normal passage. So we're going to be continuing in Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 25. And we're going to go ahead and finish out the chapter of Acts 16. As you turn there, you know that if you see me up here, you're going to hear about it. If you haven't signed up for VBS yet, now's your sign. You can do it at the end of the service. Please don't do it while I'm preaching. I would appreciate that. But don't forget to sign up for VBS. So we're in Acts 16 now. Acts 16, starting in verse 25. It's a big passage. I'm going to read the whole thing, but stick with me. It says this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we're all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who were Roman citizens and have thrown us into prison, and do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Before we dive into the word, let's take a moment to pray. God, thank you so much for your word and your truth. Thank you so much for just allowing us to have a place to come and worship you. God, worship you freely, worship you openly, worship you boldly. God, I pray that as we dive into your word, that our hearts will be stirred, that we'll be encouraged, that we'll be challenged, Lord. And I pray that ultimately I get out of the way and that your spirit is speaking. God, we're thankful for the truth that we find in your word. We're thankful that we get to worship you, a holy God. So Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, as I was reading this passage, clearly it's a very long passage. There's a lot going on, and there are so many different angles that you can take this passage. And so I was reading, and do I want to focus on Paul and Silas and the way they worshiped God? Or do I want to talk about how their decision-making doesn't necessarily make sense, but they're aligned with God's will? Did I want to spend time talking about the way they celebrated salvation? Do I want to talk about the earthquake and how, man, there was this incredible miracle? Or do I talk about the miracle that we may miss in this and salvation and how it's easy to focus on this earthquake, but man, salvation is so much greater. And then it feels like out of left field, you have this moment where they're asking for justice. So do I just kind of briefly talk about the beginning and then really emphasize justice? And as I read through and was in prayer and trying to understand what direction to take this, one thing continued to pop up is that Paul and Silas were bold. And so we should be bold. We are called to be bold. Now, this event is very much so a continuation of last week's event. There's not really much separation. It's just one big story. And so we're picking up halfway through that event. And because we're picking up about halfway through the event, I think it's important to kind of finish the big idea. And so last week's big idea was faithful obedience leads to forceful opposition. However, this week's big idea, we're going to talk about when there is forceful opposition, be bold. So where are we picking up? Well, we're picking up in Acts chapter 25 after Paul and Silas have been beaten. And the very first thing that they do is they are bold in worship. Paul and Silas are bold in worship. Acts 16:25 says this, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Paul and Silas were not ashamed of the worship. They were not ashamed to be singing hymns. They were not ashamed to be praying to God. And we don't know what hymns they were singing, and we don't know what prayers they were praying. But selfishly, I would be praying for a way out. Maybe be praying for peace or patience. It doesn't say what Paul and Silas were praying, but it says that they were praying and they were worshiping. And not only that, but the prisoners also heard them praying. And the prisoners also heard them worshiping. So for us, it doesn't matter where we are, our calling is to be bold in our prayer and worship. Not because we want people to see us. This is not Paul and Silas being flashy. This is not Paul and Silas trying to get attention. This is Paul and Silas living out their calling to be one with the Spirit and walk in the will of God. And they're doing that by praying and worshiping so they know when the opportunity arises what to do next. And as I was reading this, I immediately thought of Matthew 6:5. I promise you guys, we're never getting out of Matthew because there's so much good stuff in it. But Matthew 6:5 says this, "And when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." As Paul and Silas are in this prison, I mean, keep in mind, they are beaten. They're probably still bloodied. They're in the inner parts of the prison. Probably doesn't smell great. They probably feel awful, but they are staying up late and they are worshiping and they are in prayer because they want to make sure that they are doing the will of God. And they want to make sure that God is glorified. They were not doing this for their own attention. They were doing this so that the attention would be put back on God. So for us, as we live our life in the highs and in the lows, are we worshiping? Are we praying? Are we bold in giving thanks back to God? So Paul and Silas were bold in their worship. And what this did is this led them to an opportunity. And that opportunity was for Paul and Silas to be bold in their discernment. So point number two, Paul and Silas were bold in their discernment. Verses 26 through 28 say this, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.'" Paul and Silas were in prayer. They were worshiping. And like I mentioned earlier, in my flesh, I would be praying for a way out. I'd be saying, "God, like get me out of here. I don't want to be in this prison. I don't want to feel this way. I just want to be done with this." And that's exactly what God did. Now, we don't know that that was Paul and Silas's prayer. And I don't even think it's safe to assume that that was their prayer. But what we can see clearly is that as Paul and Silas were worshiping, there was an earthquake, their chains were gone, the doors were open, and they had an opportunity to leave. Yet, They were bold in their discernment. They made a decision that would only be made because they are walking in the will of God. When you're sitting in that prison and you are bleeding and you are in pain and the doors are wide open and the shackles are free and you've been praying and you know that this is an act that only God can make happen and there is an open door, I don't know about y'all, who wouldn't take that? Selfishly. Now, as Christians, we like to use the phrase, God opened a door for us. And it's a great phrase. I love it. I use it a lot because God gives us opportunities. And we say, God has opened this door for us. And we are walking through and we are taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given to us. God has opened a door for us. In this event, Paul and Silas are in a moment where God has quite literally opened a door for them. Now, when we're making our decisions, it's important for us to make sure that we are in prayer and that we have been worshiping. That way, when this open door comes, we're ready to make a decision. Not saying that we immediately jump at the open door, but also not saying that we step back and let the door just be opened. That's a decision that we can only make through prayer and worship. And what we see here is Paul and Silas make a bold decision. They have bold discernment, and they stay. But not only do they stay, we see the prisoners stay. And it's not because the other prisoners are shackled. As I read this, I thought about why in the world would the rest of these prisoners stay? They're not necessarily following Christ. We don't know that they are. There's a good chance they aren't. So why? Why did they stay? I think it could be one of three things. Now, once again, reading into Scripture a little bit. I know Matt's sweating. But when we look at this, there's three different things that I think it could be. The first thing is these prisoners just decided, you know what? What we did was wrong. What we did was bad. We should probably stay in this prison. Even though our chains are gone, and even though the door is open, we should probably stay. That's one option. The second option is Paul and Silas, after the chains had been broken and after the doors were open, Paul and Silas said, hey, we're not going anywhere. Everybody stay put. And for some reason, the prisoners listened to Paul and Silas because Paul and Silas had authority. At least to them. And that's the second option. Or the third option, which I feel like is pretty likely. The prisoners had been sitting there listening to Paul and Silas pray. They'd been listening to Paul and Silas worship. That was in their mind. It gave them time to think about it. And as they were listening, all of a sudden there's an earthquake. And all of a sudden, everything is free. If I'm one of those other prisoners, I'm assuming that Paul and Silas have some sort of authority. So whatever they're doing, I'm probably doing that. Or, realistically, each prisoner had their own reason. But regardless, what we see is we see all the prisoners, they had discernment. But it originated from Paul and Silas because they were walking with God. And because of their bold discernment, it led us to point three. Paul and Silas were bold in evangelism. Paul and Silas were bold in evangelism. Verses 26 through 28 say this. Nope, that's point two. Verses 28 through 30-something say this. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Because Paul and Silas stayed in that prison, it gave them an opportunity to evangelize. And in that opportunity, they were bold to evangelize. Now, you can read this and you could say, how is that bold evangelism? I mean, this guy literally came down and bowed at his feet and said, what must I do to be saved? That seems pretty straightforward. There's a little bit of context we have to understand. One, Paul and Silas are still pretty beat up. And this is from the same group of people that this jailer was a part of. Now, that does not mean that this jailer had any hand in beating Paul and Silas. But it does mean that this jailer is a part of the government or the authorities that were charged with beating Paul and Silas and keeping them in jail. To Paul and Silas, this very much so could have looked like an enemy. Somebody that is holding Paul and Silas down. Somebody that may not like Paul and Silas, or at least that's what they might be thinking. Or that's what we could be thinking. It's very easy for us to get in our heads and just think, this person doesn't like us, but when we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them, do we take advantage? Are we bold in sharing the gospel with others? Paul and Silas were being held in prison by this guard. And they jumped out and they shared the gospel. They were bold in their evangelism. Another thing that I think is important to notice as we read this, we see that the jailer comes up and he says, what must I do to be saved? And that sounds like a very clear and straightforward question for what is the gospel. But I don't think it's quite that clear and straightforward. Because if we look a couple verses earlier, this man was about to fall on his sword. He was about to die because Paul and Silas were freed, because all the prisoners were unshackled and because all the doors were opened. This man didn't know what would happen. And so Paul and Silas could have taken that and said, well, this man just wants to live. So what you could do is you could go talk to the magistrates. You can tell them what happened. We'll back you up and we'll tell you what happened. And Paul and Silas very easily could have gone that route by hearing, what must I do to be saved? And thought, this man just wants to keep his life. But Paul and Silas immediately jumped, what does it look like to keep his life? And instead, what does it look like to save my soul? And so Paul and Silas in this moment go, what does it take to be saved? The gospel. Jesus came, died on the cross for my sins and for your sins so that we can spend eternity with him. So if we put all of this together and if we just say, all right, maybe best case scenario, Paul knew exactly what they were talking about. He knew that they wanted to be saved. We knew that he wanted the gospel. The guy came to him. Everything was set up nice and easy. That happens to us more than I think we like to think about it. And the reason I say that is because as I was reading this, there are some phrases that came to my mind. Phrases that I've heard people say before. Phrases that I feel like are fairly common. If you have a close relationship with somebody that's not a believer and maybe they're going through something hard and things just feel hopeless. Or maybe someone says something along the lines of, I just don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to get through it. I just feel so lost. Or maybe you've gone through something in life that's been incredibly difficult and someone comes up to you and they say, how do you do it? How did you do it? How do you get over that? That's someone walking in front of you, bowing down and saying, what must I do to be saved? They're saying they need hope. They need to be found. Do we see it in that way? Are we bold in our evangelism and taking advantage of these opportunities? Or do we sit back and we say, maybe you could try this option, or maybe you could try that? Because we are called to be bold in our evangelism. And realistically, not everyone that we talk to is going to come to Christ. It's just not how it works. But in this case, we do see the jailer come to Christ. And we see the jailers come to Christ. And maybe you have gotten to witness someone that you know coming to Christ for the first time, accepting them as Lord, and that is an exciting thing. And when that happens, we are called to be bold in celebration. Paul and Silas were bold in celebration. We should follow in that. So let's look at how Paul and Silas were bold in celebration. It says this: "Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." Let's understand a little context here. Paul and Silas were arrested, they were beaten, they were in prison. At midnight, they were worshiping, which means this takes place after midnight. It says, in the same hour of the night, they washed their wounds and he was baptized. So 12 something, but at this point, we're pushing 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe 2. It's late. It's past my bedtime, all right? But Paul and Silas, they baptize the jailer. They baptize his family. And what do? They don't ask for a bed. They don't ask for a moment to nap. They don't say, man, just give us a break. No, Paul and Silas sit down with this family and celebrate. Paul and Silas understand the weight of what salvation means. They know that they are going from death to life. This jailer and his family at one point were separated from God. When this jailer and his family died, they would not get to experience heaven. Yet, when they were baptized and accepted Christ as Lord, Jesus' blood cleansed them, and they are eternally set to live with the Lord. Paul and Silas understood the weight of salvation, and they celebrated. We love to celebrate things. We love to celebrate birthdays and weddings and babies and sports wins. I'm a big fan of celebrating those. I love when my teams win. And we celebrate these things and we celebrate with joy and we're just so excited. When we celebrate salvation, do we go about it the same way? When someone walks down these aisles and they stand up front and we all shake their hands and then we go to lunch and we may not think about it for a couple weeks. And then in a couple weeks, someone's baptized and that's awesome. And we clap for 10, 15 seconds and that is a joyous time. But then what happens? They go, they come back down. Do we continue to encourage them? Do we continue to love on them and their family? Do we shoot them a text and tell them congratulations? Do we want to take them out to lunch or dinner? Do we continue to walk alongside with them? How do we celebrate salvation? And here's the thing. I know I'm guilty. I know I get stuck in my daily routine. And I go, this is what I've got to do this day, and this is what I've got to do this day. And my mind is focused on me. Am I taking time to celebrate those around me that are now family, that are now brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we celebrating salvation? Paul and Silas were bold in their celebration, and we are called to do the same. Where we're going next, if you read the passage with me, you see we kind of take a little bit of a left turn in verse 35. But once again, it is equally as important. In verse 35, we're going to talk about how Paul and Silas were bold in seeking justice. Paul and Silas were bold in seeking justice. Starting in verse 35, it says this: "But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace.' But Paul said to them, 'They've beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who were Roman citizens and have thrown us into prison. Do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out. The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. Paul and Silas were bold in seeking justice. Now, like I said, this one comes out of left field a little bit, but I want to make sure that I'm careful and clear with how we talk about seeking justice. First, I think we need to know why we should seek justice. One, we know that God is a just God. He's a God that has laws. We can read about those laws. We know about those laws. God calls us to live according to His law, His commands, His ordinances, His decrees. We're called to live for God. And God expects that. He's a just God. But also, we as believers are called to abide by the laws of the state. God has put in order kings and rulers and presidents and governors and all of these things, and we're called to live by that law as well. Now, that law never supersedes the law of the Lord, but we have law for a reason, and we should seek justice. We should seek to do what the law tells us to do, and we should make sure that people go about it the right way. That means we should go about it the right way. There's a little bit of context to understand as to why Paul and Silas were seeking justice. First, we have to flip back to verse 20, which was last week, but it says this. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city." So at that time, in Rome, if a foreigner was walking through, they could be arrested. They could be beaten publicly, and then they could be thrown in jail. However, Paul and Silas weren't foreigners. Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So for them, the law looks different. They could be arrested, they could be tried, but none of that happened. What happened was the magistrates didn't do their job in making sure Paul and Silas was who the people said they were. And because the magistrates didn't do their job, Paul and Silas were inappropriately beat, inappropriately condemned. And Paul and Silas were seeking justice. Paul and Silas weren't seeking to just walk out because they had that opportunity. They had that opportunity twice. One, when the earthquake happened and they could just leave. Or secondly, right here, it says, y'all go. Go in peace. Like, there's no harm, no foul. Go. But that's not what Paul and Silas did. Paul and Silas sought justice. Now, for us, it's easy to think about, yes, we should seek justice, but there's a way to go about it. And we've seen people seek justice the right way, and we've seen people seek justice the wrong way. So how does Paul go about seeking justice? Well, the first thing he talked directly to the guard, directly to the officer. He said, "I'm a Roman citizen." He said, "I am uncondemned, and I have been beaten publicly." These are things that should not have happened. What he did not do is he did not tell all his brothers and sisters in Christ to come and start a mob. He didn't start rumors. He didn't get all up in arms. What Paul and Silas did is they talked directly to the official. After that, we see him give direction. He says, this is what the law says. This is how we should go about living out this law. You as the magistrates have not done that, so I want you to correct it. And in correcting it, I want you to escort us out. And that's how you right that wrong. When we seek justice, we're seeking justice for those that have been wronged. For those that are weak. That is who we are seeking justice for. That is how we go about seeking justice. is we want to live by the law, and we want our authorities to live by the law as well. What this does not mean is when you are driving through Norman Park and you see that sign go from 55 to 45, and there's a police officer sitting on the other side, and he catches you at 43, and you look in your rearview mirror and those blue lights come on, you pull over to the side. This does not mean that we yell at the officer. This does not mean that we post on Facebook about how mean the police in Moultrie are. This does not mean that we get up in arms and we start rumors. No, when we are seeking justice, we are seeking what is right by the law. And we go about it in an appropriate way. We go about it in a mature way. And we go about it in a gracious way. And that's what we see Paul do here. Yes, what the magistrates did was wrong. However, here's how you can correct it. Paul and Silas were bold in seeking justice. Now, let's keep in mind the timeline here. Paul and Silas were in jail all night. And when they weren't in jail, they were at the jailer's house. And they were eating. And so that was probably nice to be cleaned up a little bit. But remember, it's late. And so where we pick up is they were back in jail. And I would expect that they did not get their 8 hours of sleep that morning. I would expect that they were probably a little grumpy. Or at least I would be. I would expect that maybe their nerves were a little short. But let's look at how they left. Point six, Paul and Silas were humble in leaving. When we talk about humility, humility is not being broken. It is not being weak. It does not mean that you're defeated. What humility is it's respectful, it's unpretentious, and it's without arrogance. Paul had almost every right to walk out of there with his chest puffed up because he took down the man. Paul argued with the officers and they won. But we don't see Paul walking out all big and bad and telling everybody about how good he is or starting rumors. No, Paul leaves. Verse 40. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Paul and Silas, they were humble in leaving. They left humbly. They left without an attitude. But that wasn't the only way they showed humility. Paul and Silas, what did they do right after? So they went to visit Lydia. They went to visit their brothers and sisters in Christ. They set themselves up for an opportunity to be encouraged. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's difficult for me to put myself in a position to be encouraged. I don't like to tell people that I need encouragement. I don't like to tell people that I'm struggling or having a hard time. I don't like to tell people that I can't do it when I know good and well there are plenty of times when I can't. But Paul and Silas, they put themselves in an opportunity to be encouraged. They had to humble themselves to do it, but they did it. What does that mean for us? Well, Paul and Silas, when they went to their church family. We're starting right now. You guys are in church, surrounded by believers. We should be encouraging and uplifting one another. But realistically, it's a fairly big church. You'll walk out of here, and you could meet three brand new people that you've never met before. That's why we have Sunday school classes. That's why we have connect groups. Put yourself in a position to be encouraged. When you're in your Sunday school class, you can build these relationships. You can get to know families and grow together as families. You can be encouraged by one another. There are so many ways that you can be encouraged by putting yourselves in certain situations. I'll tell y'all, one of my favorite times of the week during the school years is Wednesday nights. because I get to serve with two incredible guys. And when I serve with them, I'm encouraged by them, I'm uplifted by them, and I just, quite frankly, have a great time. It's so much fun. And I'm not even sitting in a Sunday school class. I'm out there teaching. I'm serving. I'm volunteering. I'm helping. But through that, I am encouraged by those that I am around. If you're looking for encouragement, get connected. Get in a connect group. Find a Sunday school class. Serve. Find a Wednesday night Bible study. There's so many opportunities for you to set yourself up to be encouraged. All we have to do is humble ourselves and do it. As we read this message and as we read this event, Paul wasn't the only one to humble himself. We see that the jailer had to humble himself. The jailer stepped out and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And what that takes is that takes making Christ our Lord. If you're looking for salvation today, if you're looking to be saved today, if you're lost and you need to be found, we can find salvation in Christ, but it means we have to humble ourselves and turn our life over to the Lord. So if you have any questions about what that looks like, if you want to get plugged in, if you want to be encouraged, we'll have people down front to talk to you. I pray you take advantage of that. And maybe you don't want to walk down. We've got connect cards that you can fill out. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. We want to walk alongside you. But we also need to be bold. So as we go out today, let's go out in boldness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word and the truth. God, I pray that as we dive into it and as we go out, God, that we are encouraged, that we're uplifted. God, I pray that we're challenged. God, I pray that our heart is set on you, set to glorify you, set to love you. And Lord, ultimately set to take a back seat and let you drive. God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your truth. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.